The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozell Live by Dr. Tom Rozell, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
This is Dr. Tom Rozell Live on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozell. And again, I've got a great program for you today. One that, you know, kind of walks the tightrope a little bit, as I always do. But I want to give you some data. We're going to talk about two things. You know, we're at a place right now on television, you're hearing everybody come across with wear the mask. We got three different viruses that are out there. And oh my God, the emergency rooms are over the top and all of that nonsense that, you know, the media likes to expose that is supposed to be the truth. Well, maybe it is and maybe it isn't, but we're not going to get that. I just want to give you some data. So we're going to talk about two things. We're going to talk about the masking problem. And I say that in a very confined way. Because it's causing some other issues that you may not know about. And we're going to just touch on that. And then we're going to get into the use of statins, you know, those drugs that are used to lower cholesterol. And, you know, once you get to that certain place in life and they say, oh, my God, your cholesterol is above 200 and you're going to have to take the statin. Well, you may want to think twice about it. I'm going to give you my opinion and I want you to weigh it and make a decision accordingly. And we'll go from that point forward. So what we're going to talk about are things that you need to know about. Many of you have asked me, where do I get all my data from? So if you get into the websites, I'm all over the place. I get into Joe Mercola's site. Dr. Mercola is somebody who I've known for probably the better part of 35 years and very bright guy, a guy who is detailed crazy, and he's got a great team with him, and he puts it together. And, you know, I go to Labau's site, and I go to the CDC to find out what lies that they're putting out there. Then I go to the World Forum, the Economic Forum of all places, right? There's a lot of stuff out there. And I can keep adding them. PubMed, Grateful Med, that's where all the articles are being produced. And then I go overseas and I jump into those areas as well. Having said that, let's get into the meat of this and let me give you some information. I was going through Dr. Mercola's site a couple days ago. And I came across an article, and he was talking about masks, you know, those surgical masks, those blue masks that everybody's wearing, and the other mask, the black mask. And what he said caught me very quickly because we knew about it, but I didn't know that anybody was daring to really publish it, you know, publicly. But there he is. He's the leader. So he came out and said that masks are found to contain a 2B carcinogen. Something that is going to cause cancer. That's what a carcinogen is. So we need to know what that's all about. So carcinogens are many. They're varied. They're all over the place, particularly if you have continual repetitive exposure. So what have we been doing for 2.5 years? We've been wearing masks. So he put out, he says, in a study, what they found is that every mask that they looked at contained something called titanium dioxide, and the chemical is TiO2, and he said the particles are contained in at least one layer of the mask at levels that exceed the acceptable exposure level. So that means that your body can't get rid of it as quickly as it should, and it begins to build up in the tissue. So there's an international agency for research on cancer, and they classify titanium dioxide as a group 2B carcinogen, which means it's possibly carcinogenic to humans by inhalation. That means that if you breathe it in, if you breathe it into your body, it can potentially cause a cancer problem. Not a good situation, not something that you want to expose your body to. So they went through and they did an analysis of this thing, and they started looking at this titanium buildup within the body and the numerous, not just one, but the numerous toxic effects that it has on humans and also other animals and fish and so forth, because we know that a lot of titanium dioxide gets dumped in the waters and it can cause quite significant damage. So masks take both a physical and psychological toll on all kinds of life forms, but particularly human beings. There was a article in the Journal of Pediatrics that talked about the emotional burden that parents and clinicians, seem to be expressing, and the concerns because of wearing masks in pediatric cancer wards. They already knew about it. So as you get into it, you begin to see that this cannot be taken lightly. So if you're out there and you're in your car and you're wearing a mask, if you're walking around and you're wearing a mask, if you're walking in, you know, buildings, you're wearing a mask, you never take the thing off, you are exposing yourself to a tremendous amount of damage. So we've got to rethink what it is that we're doing. You know, and now on the news, you're hearing about these three deadly type of viruses, and everybody's scrambling to the emergency rooms and so forth because of this. Well, you know, is it really a problem, or is it simply because we've dumbed down our immune system so much that we're seeing an increased exposure? We're talking about this pulmonary problem with kids. Well, my grandsons go to school out in Loudoun County. My oldest grandson, who's coming up 17 years old, goes to Briarwood High School. And about 3 weeks ago, all the kids, half the school, came down with this flu type of presentation. They were all fine. They all recovered. It took about 3 to 5 days. And we went to one of his football games. And they were talking about that half of the school was out with some kind of bug, and they were all fine. They all recovered. They came back. Well, this is the time of the year. Number one, this is the end of October. We're getting into flu season generally. You know, the last couple of years, since flu kind of disappeared, we didn't hear anything about it. Was it that because it wasn't there? I don't think so. I think it's simply because it wasn't being reported. And that's a whole different story that we can talk about. You know, one of these days, I'm going to have a program at the office called Ask the Doc. I'm going to invite all of you in. And we're going to sit and we're going to answer questions and talk about the details of things. Some of the things I can't even put on the radio when we're having the program, but I'll answer privately for you. And by the way, anytime that you want to have some information that extends beyond what we're talking about here, just send me a note. Go to RoselleCare.com or go to DrTomRoselle.com and send me a note. I answer emails within a week's time. Generally less than that, and you know, after the programs, as you can imagine, I get a ton of them, but I will respond to you. If you call the office, 703-698-7117, somebody will get back to you. May not be me, because I'm in and out of the office constantly, but I will respond to email. So if you have a question on what we're talking about today or anything else, happy to do that for you. Not a problem. Don't worry about it. All right, so let's get into the program, but I want you to remember that if you're wearing a mask, you're at risk from absorbing titanium dioxide particles, which are a 2B carcinogen and can cause a problem. So check it out. Do your own homework. There are acceptable levels, but when you're exposed to it on an ongoing basis, they can make you sick on a lot of different levels. So please be aware. Do your own homework. Remember, as I said forever, is that my job is to provoke you to do your own homework. For you to check things out, please do. Don't neglect it. Don't set it aside. Get it done. Do what you need to do to save your life, your health, and make things better. So I told you we're going to get into a little bit of a different process today. We're going to talk about statins and how statins can increase your risk of diabetes. And why is that so important? Well, we have a country right now that's getting way too fat, and we're showing all kinds of disease processes because of that increase in weight. Now, diabetes is an increased blood sugar level. So your blood serum level, that just means, you know, if they do the test and they see the glucose level, really doesn't tell the whole story. You have to have an A1C hemoglobin done, which is a measure of the blood sugar in your red blood cells over an average of 3 months. That tells a little different story. But here's the situation, and this is what I really want you to understand and I want you to know. When we're dealing with diabetic patterns, the question still has to be answered, why is that? Why do we have the increased risk? Why are we dealing with these heart attacks? Why are we dealing with visual disturbances? Why are we dealing with mental degenerative conditions like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and old age dementia and so forth? These are known today lovingly as type 3 diabetes. So we'll touch upon that as we go through the program today. Well, past research has indicated that statins, these drugs that your doctors arbitrarily put you on because the drug companies told you if you're above 200, they got to go on statins, are causing damage to your system that we've been yelling about and waving the flag about for years and years and years. And we're going to talk about, you know, we talk about muscle pain and ache. We're talking about problems that affect your hormones. We're talking about your ability to think clearly. We're talking about cataracts. We're talking about cardiovascular health. All of these situations are provoked, made worse, initiated by statins, these crazy medications that your doctor tells you you have to have simply because they're preventive. You're of the age now that you've got to take these things. And, you know, when they tell me that, it's like, I don't think so. You know, we're gonna do things my way, and my way is sometimes a little different than everybody else's way. You know, a quick story. A couple of years ago, maybe about 5 years ago, 6 years ago now, I went in to see a cardiologist because every 2-3 years I want a treadmill exam and I wanted to get checked out. And this guy goes in and, you know, my blood pressure was pretty low. It was about 118 over 70. And I hadn't really been working out hard at that interim, meaning several months before that. So they go in and they ask me, you know, I'm in my late 60s and they said, you know, what medications are you taking? I said, none. She said, look at me. What? You're not taking any medications? I said, no, I don't take any medications. And all my blood fats are relatively normal and everything's in. And so they go through, they do a cardiac evaluation. And this guy doesn't get up off his table when he comes to talk to me. And, you know, here I am, a doc, and he can't get off his chair. So that's a whole different story, but we'll get into that some other time. So anyway, he says, well, he said, you have a small regurgitation of the mitral valve, and it shows up periodically. I said, Doc, isn't that true for somebody who's been an athlete their entire life and has, quote-unquote, an athletic heart? And he didn't say anything. So at that point, he tells me, he said, you know, for your age, you need to be on a statin and, you know, a blood thinner preventatively. I looked at him. I said, I don't think so. I said, Doc, don't you know the studies that come out of it? And I quoted 4 or 5 studies for him. He leans towards me and he says, I owe you standard of care. That's what I want you to understand. Standard of care means no matter who you are or what your condition is, this is what you're going to get, period, end of story. Standard of care. That means the drug companies told him that when somebody hits a certain age, that they're going to put you on X, Y, and Z. When we come back, we're coming up to a break in about a minute, and we're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit about what really happens with statins, why you're at an increased risk, what the problems are, and we'll take that into the second part of the program as well. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. If you want to get a hold of me, if you have a further question, simply do this. Send me a note, drtomrozelle.com. Go to rozellecare.com, and we will make it happen. You need to know, you need to control your own life. You have to be the one who is going to direct and decide and know about your own personal health. That's why I wrote my book, you know, about 8 years ago, 9 years ago, Ageless Health, Health is to Do-It-Yourself program, because it is in your hands, and that's what we're going to get done. We're coming up to that place where we have to pay attention to everybody that brings you Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is an important program, and it's important because there's so many of us that say yes to the doctor simply because it's a doctor. And let me tell you something. You know, the guy that graduated the bottom of his class in any kind of doctor school, guess what they call him? Doctor. Don't go away. I'll be right back after these important messages.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We're talking about some controversial pieces of the medical puzzle today and things that we see on an ongoing basis. We talked about the mass in the first part of the program with the exposure of titanium dioxide, and it's a carcinogenic, meaning it causes cancer. And there are particles within at least one layer of the mass. These are the blue surgical masks and the other masks and so forth. And you're constantly breathing this stuff into your system. And at a certain level and a certain amount of exposure, it will cause a cancer trigger within your body. The information's there. Go check it out. Don't believe me. Just go find it. I'm the guy that's going to tell you it's there. It's verifiable. Go do it. We're talking about statins and the effect that it has on your body. Statins are those drugs that your doctor prescribes to drop your cholesterol that tells you that, you know, at the age that you're at, that you need to have these things. Well, statins work by blocking a liver enzyme that your body uses to make cholesterol. Okay, your liver makes cholesterol. You have to have cholesterol. You can't drop it down to nothing. If you drop your cholesterol down way too low, you end up with all kinds of problems, including cardiovascular problems, mental problems, musculoskeletal problems, cataracts, kidney problems, and the list goes on. So this is not, you know, and these guys are putting it out there. And, you know, when I'm talking about my colleagues and physicians and guys that I, you know, kind of beat up all the time, there's a lot of really good people out there, and I want you to know that. There's some guys that get this. They understand this, and they're the ones that will talk to you about it, not the one that says, here, take this because I said so. But statins work by blocking liver function. One of the things that it blocks and breaks down is and causes a dramatic depletion is CoQ10, coenzyme Q10, and something called K2, which also helps keep bones together. It means it helps transport calcium into the bones and keeps it where it goes. Both of these, by the way, are necessary for your heart to work the way it's supposed to and to prevent some cancers. So when you understand that, when you understand that you need these things, but this drug, this statin, regardless of what manufacturer is producing it, is causing a depletion of these enzymes, this CoQ10, K2, minimally, and there's other pieces as well, your body is struggling. Cholesterol is necessary. It has to be there. It helps repair tissue. It helps maintain the integrity of your cells within your body, and it helps transport a food that has been digested. So we go through and we look at, you know, cardiovascular events that supposedly they're given the statins for, and there's a really crazy increase in risk due to statins of cardiovascular problems. And what is it? It's 20 to 25%. The absolute risk, the actual difference of taking a statin to prevent death is less than 2%. Do you hear me? Less than 2%. Are you willing to take that risk to produce these other things? So we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about these other pathways, these things that just kind of show up because we're not paying attention to them. It's not okay. Your health is significantly at risk because of the stuff we're taking. But statins, again, are a type of medication that are used to lower your cholesterol. The problem is that when they block these other enzymes and they drop the cholesterol down across the board, cholesterol that you do need, by the way, because you need cholesterol. Remember I just said you need it for your brain, you need it for hormones. And by guys, you know that ED problem that you have? It could be simply because you're taking a statin, because your hormones are going to drop like a rock, and they're not going to transport properly because there's a blocking mechanism that takes place there as well. Everything that I'm telling you is legitimate. Look it up. Don't trust me. Do your job and say, hey, listen, you know, okay, doc, you have a thought process here, but is that thought process one that is going to carry us into the good zone or the bad zone? Well, we'll talk about that a little bit as we go through the program as well. But we're talking about a common drug that has been given to millions upon millions of people preventatively, not just because they need it, but simply because of the fact that their doctor told them that they need to get it done. But when you talk about somebody who doesn't have a problem and you're putting them on a drug like this that can initiate and cause a problem, that can increase your risk of cataracts, that can cause your heart not to work the way it's supposed to, and that's why they're giving it to you. But more importantly, off-center virtually everything else that's going in your body, to me, there's a problem there. You know, take a look at your family longevity. Yes, we have a problem in the United States of America. What is it? We are reactive and we listen to the wrong people instead of asking the question, why is that? How can I help myself? What can I do differently? We're going to talk about that when we come back in the next part of the program. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is an important program for all of us. Make sure that we pay attention because our doctors have free-range writing and writer's cramp when it comes to prescribing this drug. Don't go away. I'll be right back after the important messages.
This is Dr. Tom Rozelle Live on WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Indeed, I got a special program for you, one that is important critically to all of us as we get a little bit older. And you know, the first part of the program, we talk about those crazy masks that everybody's wearing. Again, you know, you're out there and you're all messed up, and I just don't get it. You're walking outside, and it's fresh air, and it's a beautiful day, and you're by yourself, and you're all messed up. Will you please tell me why? There's no data out there that suggests that you should ever begin to do something like that. It's not happening. Oh, by the way, did you know that, you know, all the masking was pushed by Dr. Fauci? And guess what's happening? He's been subpoenaed. He's got to testify. And all of his cohorts. I can't wait to see what's going to come down the pike. This is going to be so exciting for me. But, you know, I'm the guy that's been pointing fingers since this thing began. So pay attention to it and get it done. But let's talk about something other than masks. So we're talking about statins, you know, the drug that's used to lower cholesterol. And we said that it disrupts the production in the liver by stopping the CoQ10 and K2 mechanisms that help prevent all kinds of things, but also help with the production of good cholesterols and things of that nature. Your body makes cholesterol, and it's necessary for the production of hormones and protecting cell walls and, you know, dramatically transporting things where they need to go. Now, I'm being a little bit superficial here, but we're going to get into it a little deeper at this point. And I said initially that we may be looking at an increased risk of diabetes. And in my opinion, something that's called type 3 diabetes. It's not type 3 diabetes, but the increase of risk of that. And what we're talking about is the cholesterol depletion, but it's causing a receptor problem within the brain. Guess what the number one food for the brain is? Sugar, right? So let's think about that for a second, and then let's walk through this. But statins are these medications that drop cholesterol. So we take it down through, and it's been vilified. Cholesterol has been vilified for years. It's a bad thing, cholesterol, right? It causes heart attacks. It causes strokes. You know, cholesterol is needed, by the way, for so many different substances and to maintain good tissue cell membrane health. But we're getting rid of it. We don't want it in the system because, oh, my God, it's going to plaque. Well, it's not going to plaque you up. Cholesterol is found in foods from animals, dairy products and meats. Your body makes these fatty substances, these cholesterols, but it can't travel in the bloodstream by itself. The body causes these small particles of cholesterol inside little encapsulations of protein, and they're easily mixed with the blood, and they're transported. These protein substances are called lipoproteins, and they're responsible for, again, transporting cholesterol through the membranes into the cells, making them usable, and so forth. One of the main types of lipoproteins that your doctor measures is HDL. It's a high-density lipoprotein. And that guy is supposed to be the one that protects you. That's called the good guy, right? The good stuff, the one that you want to have a lot of, the one that actually increases when you go exercise, when you do little things that you're supposed to, like walking around, like getting a little aerobic exercise, like pushing weights. Any of those things will help upregulate it. But there's good HDLs and there's not so good HDLs. Not meaning they're bad, they just don't do the job that they're supposed to. Then the other one that it measures, these protein transport molecules that we talked about, is something called LDL, or low density lipoproteins. And then you have very low lipoproteins. So you'll see on your blood test, it says a VLDL. And those guys are often referred to as the bad guys. And what you have to remember is that according to the studies, somewhere between 18 to 22% of all your cholesterol in your body is acquired from the food that you eat. The rest is made by you. So even if you were putting in bad stuff, you're only going to have that effect, and that's not enough to do much of anything. But that's irrelevant because your body can handle that very nicely. Statins are written to reduce cholesterol in the body globally across the board without sparing one over the other. So there's several studies out that suggest that the statin drugs may double your risk for type 2 diabetes. And by the way, type 2 diabetes was originally called adult onset diabetes. You know, as you got older and so forth, the problem is that type 2 diabetes is not something that is now reserved to adults. Kids are getting it. And because we're an overfat society, we sit around, we don't walk anymore. You know, we're in front of our screens, our computers, we don't do anything. So when we do these screenings, right, there's a lot of data from that's being saved and being looked at and so forth. They just don't tell you about it. But individuals who had general indications for statins, you know, they're above that 200 mark. By the way, when I was in school, the normal cholesterol level was 230. And by the way, if you do your homework, people were healthier back then than they are now. Remember I said you need cholesterol? But now they've lowered it down to, they want you under 200, which I think is a crock, but that's, you know, 45 years of looking at patients and so forth. So they look at people who, you know, who had previous cardiovascular events and they were enrolled in a lot of different studies. Adults who had type 2 diabetes before the study or who acquired it in the first 90 days were excluded from the study, acquired it. How did they acquire it? You know, what were the ramifications that, who knows? You know, they didn't publish that piece of it. You know, records, you know, began to show that it really didn't make much difference relative to anything. Lifestyle did, obviously, and whether people did certain things or didn't. But what they saw was anybody who was taking a statin proportionally had a dramatically greater increased risk of spiking a diabetic pattern. I don't know about you, but that gets my attention pretty quickly, right? And I told you early on in the program that just because, you know, I went to this cardiologist and just because I was a certain age that they wanted to put me on a statin and a blood thinner, and I said, I don't think so. That blood thinner was a daily aspirin, which everybody knows is going to rip a hole in your stomach, even the 81 milligram baby aspirin. Over a period of time, you're going to bleed. You decrease your ability to clot and subsequently, you know, all the things that go along with that. And a lot of you are sitting there and saying, where does he come up with all this stuff? I've told you at the beginning of the program. I'm constantly reading, and I'm quoting a few things from Dr. McCullough today simply because of the fact that Dr. Joe has a really good team working for him, and anything he puts out is well-documented and substantive. I also get into PubMed. I also get into Grateful Med. I get into CDC sites. I get into all kinds of literature, and I draw conclusions. And when I see the same thing over and over again, it tells me that we got a problem here. So let's get into what takes place and the things that I want you to know about. The reduction in what we talked about early in the program of coenzyme Q10 may be responsible for two things. One, acute heart failure. All of a sudden, somebody drops dead. And also may be responsible for plaquing of the arteries. It's called atherosclerosis. So you hear that term? That means your arterial bed is plaquing. It's narrowing down. And this goes back to research that was done, probably 10 years ago or so, that they actually were published. They knew it before that. So the study addressed the physiological mechanisms in the reduction of coenzyme Q10 and the blockage, the inability of the body to produce vitamin K2, which we know is used for so many different things, but immune function and making sure that we transport calcium into the bone. And subsequently, that reduction in K2 is increasing the risk of osteoporosis. But here's the deal. Here's where my head goes. With K2 dropping the ability to transport calcium into the system or maintain it at an adequate level, heart disease, and brain function and all types of inappropriate calcification increases. Why is that important? Well, that's because that's where you get hardening of the arteries. That's where you break your bones. And that's all because of what? We're putting people on cancer. So now the side effect becomes degenerative diseases, filtration of calcification into the lens of your eye, that's called cataracts, increased risk of cancer because of the exposures and because of K2 being depleted, and your body aching, muscles aching, hurting like crazy because it can't maintain a good calcium level in your body. That's where that comes from. So when patients come into my practice and I look at them and I said, why did your doc put you on this? And they said, well, you just said because, you know, preventatively. I said, no. I said, that's why you're having all this joint pain and that's why you're having all this muscle pain. And, you know, we go in and we examine them and so forth. And then there's exchanges. And by the way, what I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not telling you to do this. I'm just telling you the studies will show you that taking 500 milligrams of a time-release niacin will normalize your cholesterol levels better than taking a statin. And over a period of time will cause you not to plaque. Again, those are studies that are coming in across the world, in the world of nutraceuticals, my environment, you know, nutritional patterns and so forth. So you have to understand that the absolute risk of cardiovascular problems is not diminished by taking a statin. It actually increases because of that. And the risk of forming diabetes or coming up with diabetes and what I call a type 3 diabetic pattern, which means that we're affecting the brain and things like Alzheimer's and dementia and Parkinson's and so forth. All those things now are being looked at in the tag type 3 diabetes is being placed across the board on it. So it hasn't become official yet, but there's a lot of conversation within the research institutes about that. But let's talk about, you know, that prostate cancer, guys. And ladies, I want you to remember that prostate and what? And breast tissue are genetically the same. So they say that in the control group, there was about a group was 2% of people ending up with cancer. And this means that there was a doubling of the risk of having prostate cancer from taking a statin. Now, you know, is that a normalized situation? I don't know. There's a lot of literature out there, and it's one that's got my attention because there's so many guys now that are coming in with an increased risk or actually having prostate cancer. So we'll get into the lab work just a little bit as we go through, but what I want you to know about this is that the lab work has been produced by the guys that have a vested interest in this, the guys that are writing the big checks. You know, when I was in school, I said cholesterol was normal at 230. Now they want you at 199 or less. Who's funded the research? It wasn't the institutions. It was the drug companies who gave the institutions all the money. Do you think that they had a little bit of a vested interest in making sure that the data came out the way that they wanted to come out with? I don't know about you, but I think so, maybe. You know, so we're talking about a drug that can cause some serious problems. But your HDL level, what I want you to do is divide your HDL level by your cholesterol. This ratio should be above 24%. If it's not, you got a problem. Your triglyceride, your HDL level, so divide your triglyceride level by HDL, the ratio should be easily below 2. And if that's not the case, then you have a very strong predictor of coronary disease. So when there's ways of really doing that, is the absolute number of your cholesterol important? Not really. And it's not even talking about the subfractions. And what am I talking about when I say subfractions? I'm talking about things like apolipoproteins A, apolipoproteins B, and then there's subcomponents after that. Those are the ones that tell you whether or not you have a really bad cholesterol. But guess what? Your doctor doesn't want to run them because they make a determination that your insurance won't pay for them. I don't know about you, but every once in a while, there's some cash labs out there that I'd rather write the check for and find out what the real determination is. But here I am. I'm in my seventh decade of life, and I don't take medications. My heart works pretty well. You know, I had a little bit of a problem when I hit the ground a couple years ago because some young lady decided to plow into the back end of me at 55 miles an hour and dinged my ventral vagus, the anterior portion of the vagus nerve, and caused my heart to flip around a little bit. They wanted to put me on every drug that you can possibly. They want to put a pacemaker in my chest. And I said, I don't think so. We're going to do it our way. And so we, you know, I got treated by structural manipulation and acupuncture, low energy light laser. And here I am 2.5 years later and perfectly normal without any trouble whatsoever. Now, you have to make a decision in your life. You have to do your homework. You have to find out, am I willing just to sit there and say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, and take whatever medication that without questioning that? I don't know about you, but I'm not cut that way. Never was, even since I was a kid. And I would encourage you to question. I would encourage you to do your own homework, your own research, because it's out there. It's just a matter of really doing the data and going from one place to the other and making a determination. I'll break it down for you. Send me a note. Go to drtomrozell.com. Send me a note, or go to rozellcare.com. Send me a note. Go to my website. Follow me on Facebook. Check my Instagrams out. I'm always publishing things. And then sometime, probably coming up after the first of the year, I'm going to do an in-house presentation, and we're going to talk about all kinds of different things, like Ask the Doc. I'm going to have you tell me. We're coming up to a break. We have to pay attention to those people who bring you Dr. Tom Rozell Live. Don't go away. I'll be right back after these important messages.
This is Dr. Tom Rozell Live on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozell. You've been listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live as you do every Sunday at high noon on the Eastern Seaboard. Really appreciate you. And, you know, as always, I want to thank our men and women in service, because if there's anything that I know, and I know close and deep to my heart, is that without you, we couldn't do what we do. We couldn't say what we say. We couldn't put data out the way we are. So anything that I can do for you on any level whatsoever, go to rozellcare.com. Send me a note. Tell me what you need. I promise I'll get back to you. You know, I appreciate you and those of you who have done everything for us, because you believe what we believe and you love what we love. And I thank you again. We're talking about some very controversial pieces today. We started out the program talking about mass and the titanium dioxide particles that they're finding. And we know that titanium dioxide has a carcinogenic effect in the body. And there are a lot of people right now that are suffering needlessly, increasing the risk of cancer within the body, but particularly in the respiratory system, the lungs and so forth, into the brain. And we're seeing all kinds of things that, you know, can it really absolutely 100% say this is where it's coming from? Maybe, maybe not. I'm going to let you do your homework. And then we got into talking about cholesterol and the statins that so many of you are taking, and in my opinion, needlessly, because you can turn that around so dramatically. Do statins reverse damage? No, not really. They just drop the cholesterol level by blocking enzymes within the liver called CoQ10 and K2, vitamin K2. So the deal is that you've got to make sure that you understand the mechanisms that take place. You have to understand that it ain't all what it's cracked up to be. So when you ache and you hurt when you're taking a statin, your muscles just scream. It's problematic when you suddenly can't think as clearly as you were. It's problematic when you go to the doctor and you say, well, we'll watch it. You're starting to develop a cataract and you didn't have that problem before. That's not okay. There's something that's going on that is different. And maybe that difference is because you've been taking a statin for a period of time now. And, you know, you don't feel good. Your energy is low. CoQ10 not only goes to the liver and helps reduce cholesterol, but it's also the energy pack, if you will, that gives and helps your body produce ATP, adenosine triphosphate, which is the fuel for cells. So if those are the cases, and we know that cholesterol is necessary for all of that as well, and that the statin you're taking may be more problematic than what it's worth, well, then you've got to make sure that you really do your homework. Again, as I've said so many times, don't believe me. Let me provoke you so I can get you to a place where you are moving forward. You have to be able to move things in the direction that can sustain you. You know, there's data that's been collected from huge numbers of people that are showing that maybe statins are more damaging across the board than they were designed to be. I'll leave that investigation up to you, or reach out for me and I'll tell you where to go with it. But give it a second thought, particularly as you're older. You know, if we get into our older years, we definitely don't need these. We need to maintain our headspace. We want muscles that work for us. We want to be able to have at least a normal hormonal balance for many different transports within the system. If we don't pay attention to that, we're cutting our own throat, my opinion. So please pay attention. Do what you need to get done. You know, understand that, you know, your health really is in your hands. It's not something that you want to set aside. It's not something that you want to take lightly, because at the end of the day, you're involved. And remember, we do this program ongoing and for one reason only. It's for you and the fact that I love you all. We'll see you next week with another program. Here's to your health.